Houston standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. The Huntington Bank bad boy. Chunky says.
Is that accurate?
$100 telling me I'm on the clock. Could have swore there was a basketball game last night. Kind of national news. Rockets playing last night?
I don't think so.
Rocket power.
They play it.
Play tonight at 10.
Great. Why? So late.
Play late.
So late.
Patience, young grasshopper. It's a 3-hour show. And I, as much as it pains me to say this, because you know how big of a college basketball head I am.
People don't care.
What were we going to say that, Joe?
I mean, they care.
You interrupted me to say that nonsense?
Just don't care as much.
We care a great deal about college basketball on this show, probably greater than any other show in the city of Houston.
That's true.
Is there a show in the city of Houston that cares more about college basketball than we do?
Maybe The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Is there another show in Houston that cares more about college basketball than we do?
I don't think so.
We're number one. Brian the Brain is being facetious there.
No,
clearly.
I would say The Drive with Hughley and Sterner, then us number two. It's probably
Brian the Brain thinks he's funny. He hadn't talked for an hour, so he's got to jump in and be like,
got a chuckle out of you.
It was funny. We'll talk national championship here in a little bit. Patience, grasshopper. It's a 3-hour show, but here's what I was going to say before Joe so rudely interrupted me. And I hate to say this.
No one cares.
I hate to say this. Astros baseball is more important than non-Houston Cougar college basketball in this city.
We chase the fight.
I'm sorry that I have to say it. Now, is Houston Cougar basketball more important than early season Astro baseball? Of course it is.
Sure.
Of course it is.
Let's get to the transfer portal.
But is Michigan and UConn in the national championship game more of a pressing conversation than the Houston Astros in our city?
It's not.
The answer is no. Is it more of a pressing conversation than Chandler Rome fear-mongering the fans? No.
No.
It's not. Chandler Rome's fear-mongering again, Joe.
Yeah, it's a day that ends in Y.
He's fear-mongering again. So yesterday, Chandler Rome, I want to point out, though, because I went back and I looked at his Twitter yesterday because I just wanted to see like what his narrative was during the game. Because you know how these writers, you know, what they do? They sit there, they're watching the game, like, okay, what's my angle tonight? Like, which way am I taking the story tonight? What am I going to write about tonight? So I wanted to see the perspective and the thought during the game. So I went back and looked at his Twitter, which I'm blocked from, but I can still see his tweets.
Mm-hmm.
He tweeted during the game, whenever Weiss came in, it's in the fifth inning. This inning should have ended 5 batters ago. Ryan Weiss has gotten 3 inning-ending ground balls. Okay. So I think that's Chandler Rome acknowledging that Ryan Weiss did a job, right? Did his job. He did enough to get out of the inning, right?
Yeah.
Am I out of bounds here? Am I out of line? Am I reaching in any way suggesting that Chandler Rome, based on this tweet during the inning, this inning should have ended 5 batters ago, Ryan Weiss has gotten 3 inning-ending ground balls? Am I out of line saying that even Chandler Rome acknowledges that the inning should have been over with decent defense, Pena breaking the right way, a ball not hitting a base?
Nope.
Okay. I just wanted to set that precedence, Your Honor. Establish that for the courtroom here. So anyways.
Should I get McGavel?
Yeah, maybe. So anyways, Chandler, in his story today, it's all about how Joe Espada has mismanaged the bullpen from last night's game and how Ryan Weiss was out of place pitching in an inning in which it was not a clean inning, because he's a starter, remember. Which Ryan Weiss, by the way, went on Chandler Rome's podcast over the winter. Mm-hmm. So I think that they've established a relationship. I think that Chandler Rome, pro player, pro Ryan Weiss here. But also want to point out again, for the judge and the jury here, that Chandler Rome acknowledges that there were not one, not two, but 3 different plays in which Ryan Weiss should have been out of the inning. We've established that Chandler Rome admits to Ryan Weiss on 3 occasions doing enough to get out of the inning. So I begin here. His first paragraph, Coors Field is no place to conduct pitching auditions, yet there stood Ryan Weiss in a scenario he didn't seek. He signed an incentive-laden contract with the Astros as a starting pitcher, a fact he first mentioned in December with a link to Chandler Rome's podcast.
Okay.
By the way, in this article, he put a link to the podcast with he and Ryan Weiss and has reiterated across an awkward beginning of his tenure with this team. So here was Chandler Rome during the fifth inning saying that Ryan Weiss had done enough on three separate occasions to get out of the inning, yet when he's writing his story at the end of the game, yet there stood Ryan Weiss in a scenario he didn't seek.
That line bothers me.
A lot?
Maybe not as much as Jeremy, because I don't think anything bothers anyone more than Chandler Rome bothers Jeremy.
Talk about a tale of two tales here, of two cities.
Yeah, you signed a contract to pitch for the team. What are you talking about in a situation you did not seek? It's not like I doubt the Astros told him you're going to be a starter and a starter only. They probably was like, hey, we've visioned you being able to make some starts, but we'll see where the roster or how the roster is constructed. Like, there's no way they penciled him in, hey, you're going to make 32 starts.
Again, Chandler admitted that not once, not twice, but three times, Ryan Weiss did enough to get out of this hellish inning.
Mm-hmm.
But yet here he is on the Coors Field mound, the loneliest place in the world, in a scenario that he didn't seek. Moving along, Houston had a three-run lead and entrusted it to a starting pitcher performing out of position. Weiss could not protect it. Both runners scored and six more followed. Again, let me point to the tweet in which Chandler Rome said on three occasions that Ryan Weiss did enough to get out of the inning, yet here he is, Joe Espada, going to a starting pitcher performing out of position. A position that, as you said, there were three scenarios in which he could have easily been out of it, mm-hmm. but you didn't get some defense, you got a bad break behind you. He used a spring training quote, by the way, in this article. The first quote he uses here is a spring training quote from Ryan Weiss. I haven't communicated that with the team about being a starter. I think they know that. Weiss said, with 2 weeks remaining in spring training, I signed as a starter and I've been starting the last couple of years. Okay. Kind of awkward. The first quote he goes to is the spring training quote. It's actually the second quote he goes to. The first quote he went to is whenever he joined his podcast in December. Again, after the fact, the Chandler Rome in game acknowledged that there were not one, not two, but three different scenarios, three different instances in which Ryan Weiss did enough to get out of the inning. Rome, this was after the game, Rome asking Ryan Weiss a question, trying to stir it up, asking him about entering in a dirty inning with runners on base.
Something that you've done recently, I guess, how have you felt that transition has gone to being out of the bullpen and coming in and not a clean inning, coming in with runner second, third, and that's something you haven't done in a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the game. Whether I've done it a lot recently or not, it's my job. And next time I just need to do a better job. Last couple have been good. But like you said, they were clean innings. But still, I just got to do a better job.
Again, Chandler Rome saying during the game, this inning should have ended five batters ago. Ryan Weiss has gotten three inning-ending ground balls. Next one, Chandler Rome being messy again with a question to Ryan Weiss.
Getting hot quick, like, you know, being said you're coming in with two batters, like, getting, how do you feel like you've adjusted to that? Do you feel like that's something you're maybe still working through, is getting a warm-up routine now, kind of as a guy that, you know, has to come in the middle of an inning, something like that?
Yeah. That's a fair question. Our coaches do a good job of giving you enough time to warm up. So that's not what it is at all. It literally just comes down to executing, and I just did not do a good job executing early in my outing.
Ryan Weiss saying it's my fault. Nothing really else mattered. I didn't execute my pitches. And again, I point to the Chandler Rome tweet and said, this inning should have ended five batters ago. Ryan Weiss has gotten three inning-ending ground balls. Like, what is Chandler Rome's story today if Jeremy Pena goes the right way and fields the ground ball and the Astros win? It's certainly not this.
No, it's
but
not.
But because Pena goes the wrong way and a ball hits the bag, now all of a sudden Joe Espada is a buffoon and an idiot because he's using a starting pitcher in a relief role? A few more quotes, Joe. Excerpts from the article. I used a Ryan Weiss quote, I have to be better. Said Weiss, a man still mastering this new position. Another one, Weiss and Bolton, neither right-hander has stretched out beyond 64 or so pitches, but the team hoped piggybacking them could cover 27 outs and conserve an overworked group of relievers. That's a flat-out lie. That's a flat-out lie. In what world did Joe Espada ever say that he wanted to use two relievers to get 27 outs? Because if that was the case, why did they call up Eniel De Los Santos? Why would you call him up?
Yeah.
Why would you call up Eniel De Los Santos if you were trying to use two pitchers for 27 outs? That was never the plan. Eniel De Los Santos was going to pitch. He wasn't going to be extended. He wasn't going to pitch a ton. But Aniel De Los Santos was obviously available. How do I know that? Because Aniel De Los Santos pitched in the game, and he was called up. And he was called up. Another one from Rome. To win Monday's game, flipping the two pitchers may have been prudent, which we discussed this earlier. I think it's a tell that they don't really want Weiss as a starter. I think they want him as a reliever, leverage righty even, because he does have good stuff.
I also think that if you're talking about coming in a dirty inning, you might trust Weiss more than Bolton in that situation. If, like, what has Bolton shown to come in with two guys on?
Well, he's been a career reliever, never a starter. He's never started a big league game.
Yeah, but you like Weiss's stuff better, so I think you're just trusting it more.
Yeah.
In that situation.
I don't disagree. And then the last one, if Weiss was going to pitch Monday regardless of his role, logic suggested starting him for no other reason than allowing him to maintain his routine. That Espada and pitching coach Josh Miller tab Bolton and not Weiss to start the game seemed curious. I think it's a tell that they view Ryan Weiss as a leverage reliever. One more soundbite. This was Chandler Rome talking with Joe Espada yesterday after the game, and Joe Espada kind of clapped back at Chandler Rome.
What was the thought process in him sending Bolton back out for the fifth?
And were you in Sacramento?
I was not, though. No.
Okay, well, I need him to go back out there and give us one more inning.
Very obvious that they were searching, they were hunting for innings. Mm-hmm. They had to get innings because their bullpen was so upside down. Again, how is somebody saying that Ryan Weiss, out of position, couldn't handle the situation? He's a poor starting pitcher. The poor baby's a starting pitcher. How could he handle traffic on the bases? You know, it's a good point. You know, there's starting pitchers never get into traffic. You know, they never get into jams. Mm-hmm. Starting pitchers always pitch with nobody on base. Always pitch with nobody on base. How can you tweet during the game that this inning should have ended five batters ago and that Ryan Weiss has gotten three inning-ending ground balls? And then all of a sudden shift the blame to Joe Espada for using, quote-unquote, a starter out of position. Some fear-mongering crap is what that is. It's
guilty.
Ridiculous.
He's guilty of
it's ridiculous.
Quick. What was that, Brian?
Getting hot quick.
Brian's so mature. Brian the Brain is so mature.
He took all the blame himself, but it's not his fault.
And here's another thing.
It's pain.
We overrate the whole traffic thing. Like,
no, I agree.
Do I think it's tangible? Yes. Do I think it's reality? Yes. Do I think some guys are better at pitching with runners on base than guys, you know, pitching with nobody on base? Sure, absolutely. But it's baseball. Traffic happens. People get on base, whether you're a starter or whether you're a reliever. You know who gets out of innings? Guys who execute. Guys who make their pitches. You know how I know this? Because the guy on the mound said so. And you know who else said so? Chandler Rome said that if they played a little bit of defense, he'd have been out of it not once, not twice, but three times.
Yeah.
I'm sick of this guy. Sick of this guy.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
It's also his role. It might just be his role now. He's not going to be a starter. You have Alexander, you have Arrighetti. This might just be what it is the entire season.
I think he is. I think he's a reliever. I think Weiss is a reliever. I think if they viewed him as a starter, and maybe not the whole year, but this whole, like, six-man Hunter Brown being out, I think if they had visions of him being in a six-man rotation anytime soon, that he would have started yesterday's game. So whenever Chandler asked the question, and this is just having feel, this is just reading the room. Maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe I'm not reading the room correctly. But whenever he asked the question, if Weiss was going to pitch Monday regardless of his role, logic suggests starting him for no other reason than allowing him to maintain his routine. I just get the sense that they don't view him as one of their six starters.
Yeah, now if he ends up being part of that six-man rotation,
then it was an incompetent decision.
It's a huge question mark of Joe
But there's
Spotter.
A timeline here.
Yeah.
If it happens in 2 months, this is irrelevant. If it happens in the next month, then it is relevant.
100%.
Yeah, the timeline is significant here.
Yeah, if they go to a six-man rotation starting sometime next week and Weiss has moved from the bullpen to the rotation, then you look back at this game and go, well, why'd you do that?
Yeah. Brandon, if you're sick of him, why do you bring them up as often as you do and repeat everything he has to say over and over and over again? Because it makes for good content. And I just like to point out how big of a fearmonger he is.
I know you do.
It's one of my favorite bits that we have right now on the show. Fearmongering Chandler Rome. Why does Chandler talk like it's ASMR? Because he's a robotic journalist that lacks feel. That's why. It's not Pena's fault that the Astros gave up 8 runs that inning. There are other people to blame for that poor inning as well. Everybody contributed. Pena contributed. Look, Weiss contributed.
But they get out of it if Pena makes the play. Like, it just was a bad play.
The bag was a part of it.
Yeah.
Like, Weiss did not pitch well. That's absolutely true. But Weiss did not. Like, Weiss pitching poorly isn't because he is a starter pitching as a reliever.
Yes.
Again, as Rome said, he made 3 inning-ending pitches to get out of the inning.
And just didn't get lucky at all. Or had bad play behind him.
Fearmongering. All right, 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line. Let's get to that junkie earlier. I wanted to talk a little college basketball. So you know what we do. We always do what the people tell us
junkie.
What they want us to do. Congratulations to Michigan. Let's talk a little bit college hoops. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Houston, don't miss a moment. Secure your seats with Houston Rockets season ticket memberships right now and get access to this season's playoffs plus the entire 2026 and 27 season. Look, you got to do that right now because the regular season is almost over. And as a Forever Red member, you'll get the best seats at the best prices along with exclusive benefits and events all year long. You get 25% off concession and retail, 10% off suite rentals, NBA League Pass, pre-sale concert ticket access at Toyota Center. A lot of great perks that you get with it. Plus, there's also like the Rockets rewards. You get the dedicated service executive as well. So you'll be having someone with you the entire time. And as a Forever Red member, you'll get the best seats at the best prices. Feel the energy. Be part of every play. It takes all of us all season long. Get started today at rockets.com/radio. That's rockets.com/radio.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Welcome to the Magistry of March.
Dreams come true in March.
We are set to make some new March memories.
Time to dance.
There's nothing like March Madness.
I cannot wait to get this thing started.
The ball is tipped, and there you are.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Is there a better song than this?
Every song that's been created.
You are nuts.
Really?
Yes, this song's terrible.
No, there is not a better sports song than this.
No, you're moving the goalpost. You said now we're going to get a sports song.
The goalpost. Now I'm gaslighting. I meant sports song, though. You're right, I did move the goalpost, but I meant sports song.
I think we knew what he meant, Brian.
Brian the Brain.
Oh, that never flies. When
I'm conceding defeat here. I did not communicate it well. That's on me. I didn't communicate well. I didn't mean the greatest song ever. I meant the greatest sports song ever. That's on me. I didn't communicate it well. My apologies.
Stairway to Heaven.
Joe knew what I meant.
One shining moment.
One shining moment's the greatest sports song that exists. It's the best. There's nothing better than at the end of the tournament. Although I didn't watch last year's. But there's nothing better that at the end of the tournament.
That?
You know the answer to that.
Anything
too
happen?
Soon, Brian. Too soon. Don't troll me like that. I'll throw this baseball through that glass.
I didn't
window.
Watch last year, so.
Why'd you turn it off?
It's still going. I just loaded it.
Remember when they tried to change the singer and everybody's like, no, nah, that ain't working?
That wasn't that long ago.
It's like
right?
5 years ago, something like that? And they're like, no. Bring me back Luther.
Yeah, don't try to fix something that works.
Bring back Luther.
Yeah.
No, I love this. This is one of my favorite moments. The calendar year sports.
It's especially good when you get like the crying kid.
That's the worst.
No.
You're a hateful person.
No.
You get your jollies on a college age kid crying their eyes out.
The flute player from Villanova or whatever it was?
You are mean.
Was it Villanova or was it Kansas?
You are so
mean. It was Kansas. The crying Northwestern kid.
Yeah.
And they put him in there. It's great.
You are mean.
The crying flute player was the best.
No, it's, yeah. So what it's mean? It adds to the.
What do you mean, so what?
It adds to the moment.
You're an evil person.
It shows heartbreak and how much the tournament means.
Yeah,
you were a bully, weren't you?
The thrill of victory and the despair of defeat.
The agony of defeat.
Agony
the joy of victory, the agony of defeat.
So there.
I think the agony of defeat is greater than the joy of victory.
The agony of defeat was all over the face of the sad Trump.
Well, I don't enjoy the agony of defeat, though.
Well, you have to have the sad to maximize the good feeling, like what the hero's overcoming. Right?
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
But I still don't like the agony of defeat. I don't like seeing it on people. I really don't.
I just, if the Cougs and Texas were playing in the tournament and Brian was there and he was crying on national TV,
no,
you wouldn't enjoy that?
No, I wouldn't, folks. No, I wouldn't. I don't like pouring salt in the wound or peeing on somebody's grave. I really don't. I actually, that's one of my pet peeves of this generation, is that we are very quick, like sports fans, you know, even like social media admins and all this stuff, to crap on somebody else than to celebrate yourself. Like, the Astros win a World Series, and it's like, ha-ha, you suck, as opposed to like, well, we love this moment. Yeah, I hate that. I actually cannot stand that.
But it's not like the entire one shiny moments about that. It's just like one like little
sure.
part of
we've kind of sidebarred this conversation.
Yes,
a bit.
Yes, yes.
But like I hate you win a big game and the first thing that you tweet out is like you suck.
Oh,
like
I mean,
that's so dumb.
It is annoying. Like when like it's my only peeve with Astros fans.
Yeah,
is that like when they beat the Dodgers in a regular season game. But what happens after?
Like people are so quick to deflate somebody else's tires as opposed to pumping up their own tires. Like I don't get it. I really don't. Like, do I cry about it when somebody, like, says something to me? No. Like, whatever, I'm going to wear it. Like, you want to behave that way? Whatever. I'm not going to get into an argument with you. I'm not going to fight with you about it. It's just my personal preference. Like, I rather inflate my own tires than to deflate somebody else's tires. I think it's childish.
It's fair.
Yeah, you win the national champ. Indiana wins the, and I don't know if this is true about Indiana. I'm just using an example. Like, Indiana wins the national championship. Like, you suck, Hurricanes! Ha, 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 ha! Like, why don't you celebrate your national championship?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's only when, like, there's, like, real beef is when it's okay to go all in. Like, I enjoyed when Notre Dame crushed Indiana last year because Cignetti was running his mouth before the game. But you celebrate your win first, to your point. Celebrate your win and then add the salt to the wound after.
Yeah, it's just weird to me. One Johnny Momo was written by an Ann Arbor native. That's crazy. The first time it was played was the 89 championship. Fun fact. Not an actual sports song by the lyrics, but you can't ignore it. Seven Nation Army's the greatest sports song ever. Okay, most watched March Madness ever. I didn't know that. That's that's quite impressive. Big I thought numbers. It was poetic, maybe ironic. I'm not sure the ick that it was, but whatever you want to call it, I thought it was funny that the transfer portal opened the very moment that One Shining Moment was being played.
Yeah,
just kind of like here you go.
I mean,
national championship, One Shining Moment. The portal is open.
It's better than last year when the portal was open during the tournament, or like how the college football playoff is.
Yeah.
So at least that's a little bit better.
Yeah.
It's still, but you're right. It's weird. It's just like as soon as the game's over, it's all right. This guy's in. This guy's in. This guy's in. It's like, oh, okay. We're gonna have no idea who's on what team next year.
I'm excited for the portal. It's college basketball free agency.
Yeah, but like, I mean, I'm not surprised the ratings are up. Like, I know, like, Calipari has been going on every podcast and show he can go on about how broken college sports are. And I get there are a lot of things that are broken about college athletics. I don't disagree. But ratings are massive right now for football and basketball. Because I think part of that's because the portal's kind of working.
College basketball is so hot right now.
Yeah, it's raised the level of the top teams. Like, people don't... Cinderellas are a fun story, but we watch for the best teams to be playing.
No doubt.
And that's what I think this March Madness again showed.
No doubt.
But it was a really fun tournament this year.
No
doubt. Like it was not as many buzzer beaters, I think, compared to past years. I think there's only, I can only think of like two or three.
No doubt.
But it was a fun tournament.
No doubt.
No doubt.
I didn't think Michigan played all that well last night. And they still won. But I mean, credit UConn, though. UConn's very good at mucking up a game. They're very good at getting the other team to play. They're not a game. But, you know, Michigan, I would say that was their B-minus game. Still good enough to beat the national runner-up. Michigan was so good. Like, Michigan was the best team all year long, quite frankly. Like, they were the best team all year long. I think they were the best team in college basketball. A lot of times the NCAA tournament doesn't, you know, crown the best team every year because you're playing a series of six single elimination games, sometimes seven, depending on, you know, if you have to play in the play-in. And, look, Michigan all year long with the best team, and I think that this year's tournament crowned – the best team in college basketball.
Yeah, I thought the game was over at halftime when they were up by four and hadn't hit a three yet.
Yeah, I mean, they finished 2 for 15.
Yeah, like
they shot 13% from three.
Yeah, I was kind of assuming that they were going to start hitting a bunch of them in the second half and run away with it.
Uh-huh.
And they had a sizable lead there at the end, and then UConn made some great plays to make it a closer game. And I saw it was the second time since Jordan hit the shot to where the spread finished within a half a point.
Really?
They were that close, yeah. Because it closed at 6.5 last night, and they won by 6. And the last time that happened was when Jordan hit the shot, and they only won by 1 over Georgetown. So Vegas on the money.
Wow.
In last night's game.
That explains this tweet. I didn't really understand it. Vegas always wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Crazy. I think I'm going to tease this, actually. Do you know that Michigan was the first team, by the way, to win the national championship with an all-transfer starting five?
Interesting.
First team in the history of college basketball to win the NCAA tournament with an all-transfer starting five.
I did not know that.
Pretty crazy. Another, you know, poetic, ironic, that Michigan wins it all, first ever all-transfer starting five, and then boom, transfer portal opens up.
And you got, I mean, now between them and Indiana, just it, transfer portal can change everything.
No doubt.
You can flip a program, and it probably it raises the expectations for every single new coach.
Probably unfairly.
But so Cignetti in year two, Dusty May in year two, like winning championships, like yeah, it raises the bar for new coaches to probably an unhealthy level, mm-hmm. and it already was in college athletics where expectations are way too high. I mean, if you're the LSU coach, you're expected to win a national championship in your first 3 years of that football program.
Well, it is Lane Kiffin,
but now he might be expected to win it in 1 year or two years.
It is Lane.
Yeah.
It is Lane. Yeah, Michigan shot 38% in the game yesterday. They were 2 for 15 from 3, 13%. They were out-rebounded by 7 and still won the national championship. That wouldn't even their B-minus game. No. That was their C game.
Morrow is such an advantage. He's so tall.
He's a tall man.
He's so tall.
He's a tall Spaniard. No doubt about it. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Here's the question I have from you. Not from you, for you. Has the Big Ten passed the SEC? Has the Big Ten passed the SEC? It just means more. How much more? Have they passed them? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. First a moment on HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll. Cougar owned by my colleague, Go Cougs. Chris Fisher over there. He's an Aggie. Great people at HR&P. Business owners, let HR&P help you. They can help you with HR compliance. They can help you with benefits administration. They can help you with your payroll. They can help you in your onboarding. They can help you in any or all of those areas. There's no boxes with HR&P. Doesn't matter how small, how big. HR&P completely customizes a plan for what you and your business needs. You have a problem? You have an issue? You want to take a little bit off your plate? HR&P is going to find a way to help. They do it in a way that is unique. Technology meets service. They have the best technology. You're going to love that, but you're going to love their service too. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll always talk to someone that knows you, knows your business. I can attest to that. We use HR&P here at Gal. They're phenomenal. Let HR&P help with your entire business, but also take care of your employees, you employers, because as an employee of Gal, I love HR&P. They are the best, so if you care about your employees, you'll give them HR&P too. Give them a call right now, 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525, or check them out online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
With Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Grade the call. Iron Eagle. CBS last night. Hail to the champions. Hail to Michigan.
I really like Iron. 9-2.
I thought it was pretty high.
Yeah.
9-4. Isn't there the whole fight songs like Hail to the Victors?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Like that was a pretty good little play on words there, yeah, I thought, by Ian.
That's a good move there.
It's a really good move by Ian. Not Ian, it's Ian.
He's so much better than his kid.
You don't like Noah?
No.
I mean, Noah's young.
He's got to be, what, in his 20s? He can learn.
He's very young.
Yeah, I mean, he got his first play-by-play job, I think, at like 21.
Yeah, nepotism in there a little bit.
Yeah.
What's for the Clippers? I like Ian a lot.
You think he's great?
Ian, but I mean, personally, as a personal.
Oh, really?
He's a really nice guy. Really nice guy.
No.
Does he know your name like Tim Brando?
Ian does know my name. Ian one time gave me all the show graphics. He goes, "Here's all our graphics we're doing on the show today, in case you want them." I was like, "Oh, okay."
That's
first time anybody's ever given me that.
Yeah.
So he just gave me all the graphics they were going to use on the broadcast, which has very weird stats, which I don't think I use much of it. But what a gesture!
But it's nice to have.
What a gesture from what a nice man. Who would do that?
Yeah.
He's the only one that has ever done it.
If there was a lull in the game, you're just like, hey. Got all this free stuff.
Yeah, that was a very, very nice gesture. That won me over. But he's always like, hey, how you doing? Team's playing well. I like Ian a lot. He's one of my favorite. Like, because you run. I mean, you talk to all these play-by-play guys. Ian's probably one of my favorite.
Nice.
Yeah, he's up there. Fran's up there.
Okay.
Fran's very nice, even though he ghosted Brian the Brain.
Yeah, that might just be Brian, not you.
Yeah, Brian
it could
probably.
Be me. Yeah.
I think Brian the Brain probably rubbed him the wrong way.
It happens.
What did Brian the Brain do to rub Fran the wrong way? 713-780-3776. I was trying to get Fran on just so he could give us the rub. You know, we get a little Fran rub, some good karma.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we're the ones who give out the junkie karma. Who was it the other day that we had on and they did well?
Oh, it was the coach of...
Fairview A&M.
Oh, yeah.
Byron
right.
Smith. Did they keep him?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
If they fired him, that'd be bad.
But they won their playing game right after he was on the show.
Yeah, he got some... it doesn't show anything that he got let go or anything. So I think he's still there. Yeah, Prairie View A&M got a little bit of junky karma.
Mm-hmm.
It happened. How about... So here's the question I had for you. 713-780-3776. Has the Big Ten cleared the SEC? Because the Big Ten, this is their first basketball national championship since 2000. It's been a long time for the Big Ten to win a national championship. Not only did they win the national championship, but they had two of the final four from their conference. Michigan, of course, the winner, and then Illinois, of course, who came out of the South region. We know as well that the Big Ten has not one, not two, but the last three football champions in college football. And on top of that, they've been unique champions. This isn't just some Big Ten dynasty that has just came through and, like, you know, won everything. Kind of like Clemson in the ACC on a lesser extent. This was three different schools have done it. Indiana, Michigan, Ohio State. So has the Big Ten, have they cleared the SEC as the preeminent conference in college athletics?
Absolutely.
Second to the Big 12.
They have. They're number one. I mean, if you look at any metric you basically want, but I think the big ones are championships, both are just playoff success. Like, you look at March Madness the last handful of years, yes, they're 1-1 in terms of champions, but in terms of teams that have played in championships, the Big Ten has two from when Purdue lost to UConn in 2024. But also, when you look at college football, the SEC, if I have this, I think I have this correct, has not won a college football playoff game against a non-SEC opponent since the 2022-23 championship, when Georgia beat TCU.
No, because Texas beat Arizona State.
Was that an SEC team or a Big 12 team?
You said the SEC hasn't beat a non-SEC team.
They were SEC at the time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so then just Texas. Okay, so you have Texas. But outside of that, like, they don't have any success. Like, Georgia has been knocked out the last 2 years.
They should have lost that game, too.
Even if they had, though, they beat Clemson the week before, so it'd still be true.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. I forgot Texas was in the
SEC. You can't try to pass Texas Roadhouse information.
I know.
Misinformation past Brian.
Yeah.
Brian's like Patrick Wall when it comes to Texas Roadhouse misinformation.
Yeah, and their first...
He got fired, by the way.
Patrick Wall?
Did you see that?
No.
No.
Because remember we had the whole conversation the other day, like, great players being lousy head coaches?
Right.
And somebody tweeted us, like, or they texted us Patrick Wall. And I was like, okay, I guess he's good. I don't know. I don't keep up with the NHL. And then it hit my timeline the other day. He got sacked.
Mm.
Yeah, so somebody was trying to flex Patrick Wall being the answer there, and he ended up getting sacked like a week and a half after having the discussion.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Boom. There we go. Jeremy Branham's right.
Well, it wasn't so much me being right. It was the junkie being wrong, which is a bad look for the most smartest listenership in all of Houston sports radio.
They're not going to be 100%.
Maybe it's just they don't know hockey.
And that's fair.
It is fair.
We don't have hockey here.
No, it's valid.
So why would we expect to hold them to a hockey standard?
We shouldn't.
No, we should not at all. But yeah, Big Ten's number one.
Yeah, I think they're number one. Any objection, Brian?
I'm surprised to hear you say they're number one. I thought the Big 12 was number one.
Well, we put the Big 12 aside.
Okay, it's a tier. We put the Big 12 aside.
We're talking about...
Yeah, they're in this. They're at the top of the second
tier. They're the S tier.
We're actually having the discussion of what can be argued.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're in different tiers.
No, yeah.
Big 12's below.
I mean, what argument can you make against the Big Ten at this point?
I'm surprised he didn't push back.
No, I mean, what argument could I make that would sound credible? Yeah, I guess college baseball.
This junkie saying college baseball, which Big Ten doesn't have good college baseball.
I mean,
does college baseball move the needle enough for it to really factor in?
No, but bringing in some of the West Coast teams, I think, helps them in baseball.
Doesn't hurt.
No. UCLA's pretty good this year, right?
I don't know. Yeah, they are. They were number one in the country whenever Texas was two.
Yeah.
UCLA's pretty good.
So, I mean, not a traditional Big Ten team, but that getting the West Coast teams in should help them in baseball.
Yeah, but, like, you can, like, you. It just depends on how far you want to extend this argument, right? Because the SEC, doesn't LSU clean up at like everything else?
Texas, like swimming and diving, yeah, wins like every title. But, like,
we're talking about the two sports that matter,
yeah,
to be honest with you.
No, I'm with you.
Sorry. It's just the truth. Like,
I hear you, Joe. You hate Title IX sports. I
know, but like,
you hate women.
I'm talking about baseball.
How does your wife feel about that?
Huh? I like her.
Does she know you hate Title IX sports?
No, that's not true.
I mean, people care about college baseball, obviously, but it is tiered. SEC is the best in college baseball. There's no doubt about that.
But not in Big Ten country.
No, they don't in Big Ten country.
So it's like, that's why it almost like it's, if you put all the sports together, I'm sure the SEC comes out on top.
UCLA winning women's basketball. Another Big Ten,
that's true.
Another feather in the cap for the Big Ten.
Our texter says Penn State has a wrestling dynasty. I didn't know that, but maybe they do.
I had no idea.
So it's, but in terms of the top two sports, is the Big Ten's number one right now. There's not, like, I don't know how they would even argue for the SEC besides just being an SEC homer.
Yeah.
At this point.
I think, I mean, the last three football champions, the last one basketball champion, everything else is on a lower tier to those two sports. There's not an argument here.
Well, the
Big Ten has cleared the SEC.
And the SEC, what was it in the, they had a three-year run where it was three unique champions. When it was LSU, Bama, Georgia, they would have made the same argument then.
Oh, they're still making it, yeah, based off of that.
And it's why it was the right answer for a while, because they had three unique champions, and Alabama and Georgia just dominated the sport. But now the Big Ten's number one. And this year, I think we should all be expecting the Big Ten to be back in that category of, you know, the favorites to win national championships. You got Indiana, you got Oregon. Like, they're going to be at the top again. So I think they clear it pretty easily right now.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm pretty sure most SEC schools don't have wrestling programs, so that's a dumb argument. We were just joking based on what the texter sent in. We don't really care about wrestling. Not at the college level. Junkie says SEC dominates softball. Another junkie says SEC is so dominant in baseball. Check the past 10-plus years of champs. No one's disputing that. But are you arguing the sports that are second, third tier, and is your greatness in the second, third tier of sports clear obvious dominance in the top tier of the sports? I'd argue no. Big Ten here, SEC here.
Yeah, and as the texter points out, I guess Michigan and Wisconsin are playing in the Frozen Four this weekend. So then they have hockey. So you can just keep going down this argument. So it's the...
Yeah.
They're very clearly the top two conferences. And it's not particularly
second
close.
And third.
Well,
second
and third. Yeah, remember, S tier, Big 12.
Yeah. Yeah. Second and third. We're talking about where the argument begins.
Sure. Okay.
Where it begins. Yeah. Orioles have put up a three spot in the eighth. They now lead the White Sox 4-2. We're still trying to get to that over of 7. We're on Baltimore minus 1.5 runs, over 7. So that one we're sweating as it goes to the top of the eighth. Also, the Mets were giving value here at minus 151 on the money line. They were up 2-0 entering the top of the fifth, and the D-backs just hung up a three spot. So we're now halfway through that game, trailing by a run with giving up serious value, our sweat of the day. 713-780-ESPN. Pac-12 pickleball is dominant. SEC dominates in criminal court cases. We're not going to do that. We're not going to sit here and talk about which conferences are the most, you know, statistically committing the most crimes. We're not going to do that. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's cash them or trash them when we come back. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
Since 1976, D&M Leasing has been in business, and they opened their doors with one mission: make getting a vehicle easier, smarter, and more affordable than buying it the old-fashioned way. 50 years later, that mission has not changed, but the reason that people come to D&M has only grown. They're tired of negative equity, tired of wasting weekends at dealerships, and tired of paying too much for too little. And D&M, you're not going to get a rookie. Your average salesperson's been there for 10 years, and they make this process as simple and easy as possible. All you have to do is call 713-290-1000 or go to dmautoleasing.com today. They'll walk you through the process from start to finish. They'll design a lease around your life, and they'll explain it all to you. If you're like me and had never leased a vehicle before, they'll take you through the process step by step. And when it comes time, they will bring that new lease vehicle right to you, to your house, to your office. Even if you're out at lunch, they'll take your trade-in off your hands as well. So if your payments are too high, you're stuck in negative equity, or you just want a smarter way to upgrade, call D&M at 713-290-1000 or visit dmautoleasing.com today.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or Trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With Jeremy and Joe.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Cash 'em or Trash 'em. Jeremy and Joe, what are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-3776. Squid Chef says Jeremy's been hydrating. I've had so much to drink today. I think it's all that vitamin D.
Out in the sun. Up.
I've had like four of these.
That's a lot.
I know.
What a brag.
I am a hydrated mother today. All right, cash them or trash them. What are you cashing? What a flex. You drink so much water. All right, what you got?
I'm going to roll off last segment. Big Ten wins their fourth straight college football national championship next year.
Oh, what's that again?
The Big Ten wins their fourth straight national championship next year.
I'm going to trash it.
You want to say who?
No, he didn't.
Trash.
I'm asking. I'm giving him a chance. You want to say what? Oregon?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I will trash because he said Oregon. Trash. I don't believe in Oregon or Dante Moore.
Ooh.
I like Dan Lanning.
Yeah,
I
but just, that wasn't his thing.
It wasn't. No. I'm taking an extra step.
But you're okay. And also, hold on a second. Why'd you jump the line?
I thought you'd already said trash.
No, he just went, ooh, and that was all I said.
No, he said trash before that.
Did you? I don't
yes,
know.
I will play it back. Okay, buy me a sec.
BS flag thrown?
BS flag all the way thrown.
Now, Brian says, Jeremy, this is not when you're allowed to talk.
I think I did say trash. But I think it came after he opened his mouth.
Oh, okay, so this is a who talked first.
I think he started talking before I said trash. Yeah. I think he got into, like, you know, he started his windup, and I threw in trash as he was, you know, in the wind. Mm-hmm. You know, when the pitchers, you know, in the windup, they take that first step back?
Yeah.
With their non-pivot foot? All right, let's play it.
I'm going to roll off last second. Big Ten wins their fourth straight college football national championship next year.
Oh, what's that again?
The Big Ten wins their fourth straight national championship next year.
I'm going to trash it.
Ah, dang it.
Brian, the brain is right.
Boom, shakalaka!
You're so confident that you're
right. I totally forgot I said trash. And then when Brian said no, he already said it, I was like, dang, I did. But then I did think that you had started your wind. I'm wrong. You're right. Brian, the brain, you didn't jump the line. I apologize to you. I'm sorry.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Do you accept it?
I do.
All right, good. Okay. So who do you think is going to win?
Oregon.
Did she actually win Oregon?
Yes.
Son of a gun.
I mean, there's right. Three of the top five betting favorites are Big Ten teams next year.
Yeah, I think the SEC is going to break up right after I have the Big Ten as the best conference outside of the Big 12 and all of college sports.
Texas SEC is back, folks.
Texas will be fun to watch this year with a mature.
If they can beat Ohio State and Austin.
They don't need to, though. They don't need to.
That's true. They don't need to beat them to get into the playoff, but, I mean, the schedule's going
to
be tough.
They don't even need to get a bye.
Yeah, if you think they can run the rest of the table.
No, they don't even have to run the rest of the table. They just have to win the SEC. Like, if you win the SEC with a 10-2 record, you're gonna get a top four seed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I just think it's a bigger ask for them to only lose one conference game the rest of the way.
Look, I know I'm not good at the K's, okay?
You
feel like he was rubbing it in a little bit?
No, I'm just making sure Jeremy heard the K.
They tell singers
he doesn't
to
always
do that.
Listen to me, so
you know,
I'm
they tell
sure
singers to enunciate like the last letter of the word. I learned that in choir in middle school, the class I was suspended from. Mm-hmm. I did learn that, though.
I mean, you are the Huntington Bank bad boy.
Suspended in choir, seventh grade. So actually, it was eighth grade.
Is Texas the team that you would pick, then? Is that your...
I don't know. I haven't really paid attention. I'm picking Houston. This is Willie's year.
Hey, you know what? Josh Pate. He said Houston's going to make the playoffs this year.
Houston's going to win it all. All right. My cash or trash? Which, by the way, Texas Tech's very mad they're playing on Friday night against
They're
Houston.
Throwing it.
They're
pathetic. Very,
they're throwing tortillas. They're so mad.
That's awful.
They should be embarrassed how they're acting.
Carlos Correa, who's not in the lineup today, will be a future manager for the Houston Astros.
Huh. You can send a TX drop to punctuate your...
I'm gonna trash it.
Trash.
I'm not offended.
It's not that I don't think he could. I just don't know if I see that for him.
I'm going to cash it. And the reason why is hashtag mound visits.
Well, he'd be making all the changes.
Yeah, yeah.
How many visits he'd be making?
Well, just like he'd have part of his job would be to go to the mound.
Yeah, we'd be going to the mound
a couple times a game. So
the only hang up here is how much money he has made.
Yeah.
Like, does he want to commit to the grind as a millionaire many times over? I think he'd be a very good manager. High S2, loves to visit a mound, good coach, good leader. Like, I think he'd be really good.
I think he would, too.
I think he'd be really good.
Yeah, it's the money thing for me.
The money's the biggest hang-up.
Yeah.
But maybe he just needs the, you know, Patrick Ewing famously said, yes, we make a lot of money, but we spend a lot of money, too. Mm. So maybe he has to keep up the lifestyle.
I could see him being, like, the manager for, like, Puerto Rico. And, like, the World Baseball Classic. No, I know.
That's not really making much money.
Loves
making
him.
Even less money.
No, I know. But I could see him. I could see him doing something like that.
But if he's going to go Patrick Ewing, I think that answer might be TV more than it is.
He'll be good.
He did do TV in the playoffs that one. You remember he was interviewing Jeremy Pena?
Yeah. Awesome.
That was weird.
Yeah.
That was very weird.
I could just see him making like a similar amount of money, but have to work a fraction of the days being appealing.
I don't know if he's that entertaining to be like a routine TV guy.
Yeah, but like, look who like NBC hired. It's like Votto, Kershaw, and Rizzo.
Yeah, he's not white enough to be on that crew.
Some of the guys that are like, I never found Frank Thomas interesting. A-Rod, I don't find interesting.
Jeter,
but A-Rod's a big name. Jeter's a huge name.
Yeah. You're right. It's not as big of a name as those guys, but I think he could be as entertaining as those guys.
I could see Correa doing it.
TV or manager?
TV.
I don't see it. Not nationally. I really don't. All right, Brian.
I don't think a team should ever run out of challenges, regardless of sports, if they get them right. Like, I hate this rule. Like, in baseball, what is it? You can get two wrong. Obviously, in the NFL, you get two challenges in the NFL. If you get the first two right, you get a third. To me, if you're getting them all right, if they happen to happen the first quarter of a football game, D'Amico gets three right, well, he shouldn't be penalized by not being able to challenge something in the fourth quarter that's egregious. So I think as long as you're getting all of them right, regardless of sport, you should retain an extra challenge.
Now, that is the case in Major League Baseball, right?
Yeah. Is it?
You keep it until you lose them.
You keep them until you lose them. You get two
in the
misses.
NFL, you don't NFL. In basketball.
Is the NFL that way?
Yeah, no. NFL,
you get the
two,
third.
You get two
for free.
Yeah, well, you get two if you get both of the first two right. You get a third, but that's it.
And then you're out.
And then
so
you're
you think
out.
You should? They should be able to keep going.
Yeah, if you get the first three right, why should you lose them?
I think you should only lose them. Period. If you get them wrong, I agree. I cash that.
Yeah, I'll cash that.
But I think the ABS is like that. But the other sports are not. So like, I will cash that. I think
ABS is. You're right.
I think they should almost just rewrite the language and get two misses.
Yeah, I think that's the simplest way to do it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's a great call. You're so smart. Brian the Brain. 713-780-ESPN. SEC dominates equestrian. Not reading that one. 7404. Cash or trash. Ballpark is in the bottom tier of hot dog brands. I don't eat hot dogs enough like that.
I
really
would
know.
Trash.
Trash.
No. It's Bar S.
You ever seen that? Best?
No, is the worst. Because he said Ballpark was the worst, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, Bar S is the worst.
Well, he said worst, said bottom tier.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's probably fair.
I don't know enough about hot dogs.
I don't either.
I'm a hot dog noob. What's the one that's all beef?
Yeah.
I think they all offer versions that are all beef, right?
I don't think they all do.
No. Most of them do now.
I think, is it Coney Island? No, not Coney Island.
The one that we get is Hebrew National. Which we buy maybe once every 3 years.
Yeah.
But if we buy hot dogs, we get the Hebrew National.
Usually do the HEB brands.
So we probably do hot dogs like once a year, so.
We buy sausage more than we buy hot dogs.
Good call.
Yeah. I love that stuff. 7137-80.
You literally stopped talking because you knew Brian
was going to see wieners.
Yeah, I knew what Brian was going to do. Cash or trash, people will complain about getting a tummy ache after eating Taco Bell a week, and humanity will be better off when their lineage is wiped from the gene pool.
I mean, that's pretty extreme, but sure, cash it.
I mean, I cash it too. You know what you're going, what you're gonna get.
Yeah.
Like, you don't go to Taco Bell and be like, I expect to feel great after this. Like, yeah, I agree with that. 713-780-ESPN.
If you're gonna eat bad food, like, you know what's coming after.
Junkie says Arkansas wins it.
Junkie?
Ask next year. Just watch. And then he said all asterisk. That's probably Ryan Moore.
I'm about to say, is that the part-timer, Ryan?
With key injuries, the Lakers won't get out of the first round, cash or trash.
Cash it, because they're going to lose the Rockets.
I cash it.
I mean, LeBron's out tonight.
He's resting. Cash or trash, Tennessee women's basketball won't be able to field a team next year.
I don't know.
Not trash. They'll field a team.
Cash.
Everybody's in the portal, though. They have zero players on the roster.
Yikes.
Cash or trash, Hunter Brown back after Hader. I'm sorry. Hunter Brown back before Josh Hader.
Trash.
I trashed that, too.
Trash. Hader's such a 90 in the bullpen. That's what he said.
Yeah, he says he doesn't do that either. Which he says he doesn't throw 90 in his pins, and he was hitting 90 in his pin. H-E-B all-beef hot dogs with the cheese inside is the best, says a junkie. Hebrew National is top tier, says another junkie. Look, I'm doing it right. I didn't even know. All right, that does it for Cashem or Trashem. How long does Christian Javier have a guaranteed spot in the Astros rotation? 713-780. That would have been runner's lane interference if that affected the throw. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.